Dumb question, wasn't it?
All right, it's Joel Radio. Welcome in, everybody. How you doing? Joel back with you. It should be a good one. I've been doing lots of stuff. I have lots to talk about today, which is good.
I'm excited.
You excited?
Yeah, I'm excited to hear about it.
Well, you'll hear all about it. Well, I haven't done a show in 6 weeks, so we were like, why are you not doing a show? And I was doing all this stuff, so. Anyway. So, yeah, we'll get into it. Samantha Rager's back. Hi, Sam.
Hey, Joel.
How you doing?
I am doing splendid.
Good. It's good to see you on the hottest day of the summer, maybe. It's so hot.
Yeah.
It's so hot. You're not really dressed for the summer, though. Look at you.
Yeah, I am sweating like Mel Gibson in a synagogue.
Well, I've offered you water, nothing. No, taking it.
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, there's a fan. If you want that fan, in addition to the air conditioning here, because even the luxurious Joel Radio Studios, sometimes it gets a little warm in here.
Thank you.
So anything you need, you let me know.
I'm just preparing myself for the elements.
Yeah. Well, it was 87 out here or something today?
Yeah, close to 90 with like the...
And humidity and just awful. So not a good time to come to Detroit if you were planning on coming. I don't know what a good time to come to Detroit is, right?
Ooh, Noel night.
What is Noel?
I'm just going to start listing all these Detroit activities.
Okay. But it'll be cold that night.
Yeah, true. Yeah, true.
our weather sucks. So what do you want to get into here? Start. Well, first of all, Sam's, not that it matters to people at home, but you're an hour and a half late, roughly, for the show. And not that I care that much, because it really didn't affect me all that much, but... There's always something with you. That's the thing about you. And people probably know this from listening to you on the year before. There's always something going on. Like, I feel like your life is not easy. And there's all these things that happen to you. Like, I remember one time I came and, like, had to put gas in your car or you had run out of gas.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Yeah.
Thank you again for that,
by the way. Yeah, well, that's fine. But what happened today? Tell everybody why you were late today.
I locked my keys and my cell phone inside my car at the gas station.
How do you do that?
I was so tight. I was sleeping at the Bush's Market next door, and okay. I was super tired when I went to go get, and then I just for some reason left it in the ignition, and then I tried sticking my chubby wrist down the window, and it did not.
And the car wasn't running or anything, but they were just in there.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All right. So you were late, and Sam sent me like the. What was that? The receipt from the guy who came
and
unlocked it? Like, God forbid, you should be lying to me about being late for this. My important stories about the gathering of the Juggalos or whatever I'm going to talk about today. God forbid we're late for that. But I feel like your life is a series of these things. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why is that?
I would like to know as well. Like, fate is against me.
How can we fix that? What are you doing wrong? What can we do better?
I don't know. This insurance I have since the flooding I had.
We had a flood and you lost. That was a little over a year ago here in Detroit.
Yep.
I guess you've been back since then, but your car was destroyed.
Mm-hmm. And then so I didn't have insurance on that. But now I have insurance and I've just been using it after a while.
So you have the insurance and they pay for it to open your car today as a thing. Okay.
Yep. And then I've used it like 4 times in the past 2 months because I just... since I sleep in my car, there's been a couple cold nights, and I've accidentally left the lights on, and the battery just died.
What's the other thing? You're sleeping in your car, which is not the thing that we want to hear from you, because we like you so much, and we got to go. There's somebody that can't put you up somewhere.
I just feel so bad because it's been so frequently that this has been my situation.
I know you've gone from sleeping in your car to staying somewhere. And then that ends, and you're back to your car.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that is.
I keep on giving my money away.
Yeah,
I'm just like, oh, you need help? Here you go.
No, you got to take care of your take care of yourself first, and that puts you in position to take care of others.
Oh, you remind me so much of Heather.
Heather! Oh, no, Heather was the last guest on this show.
Oh.
Goodbye to Heather. Yeah, we said
I
goodbye
miss
to
so
Heather
much.
On here. Yeah, she's in LA now.
Yeah,
so
she's
an
rocking
update
out there.
From the last time you guys heard me. Heather was the last guest. She's now gone off to LA and doing her thing out there. So we'll wish her, and we'll get updates on Heather as we go along. All right. So Sam's living in her car. So if you want to, if you want Sam, if you have can help Sam, please let us know at Joel Radio. We will get in touch with Sam. And all right. Well, here's here's what we can get into then. I went to the Gathering of the Juggalos since we were here last. I don't think there's much there. I took a trip to New York.
Ooh,
we should talk about that. I do want to talk about that. But let's start with something comedy related because you're a comedian, right?
Yep.
And people like to hear comedy on this show. That's why a lot of people are tuned in. So I went to the Oddball Comedy Festival over the weekend.
Oh.
So I'll give you a full review of that. What do you think of that?
Oh, I wish I could have gone.
Yeah, it was fun. I had a good time.
Yeah, a lot of huge acts and then a lot of like really big up-and-comers.
Yeah, guys that we know were on there, and we'll talk about all that. So, yeah, this was at the DTE Energy Music Festival, I think is what they call it here in Detroit. Formerly Pine Knob, as I grew up as an old fuck like I am. That's what we called it. Out in Clarkston, Michigan. Holds 14,000. I think they might add 14,000 people there. It was crazy, like, full. So it was good. Now, I went last year to this, and when I reviewed it last year, for those of you that don't remember, you didn't listen to that show, two acts had a hard time. Sarah Silverman did not do well last year, I didn't think. And the guy, Chris, who's the Nerdist guy? Chris Hardwick. Had a heckler, kind of ran him over, kind of embarrassing. Didn't really go well for him. The other guys on that show last year, Bill Burr, Jim Jeffries, great. Michael Che, who nobody knew who he was then, did great last year. So I had a fun time last year. This year, I think a stronger schedule and everyone did well. I think let's start with the second stage, the Reds Apple Ale Festival stage. That's what it's called. It's the corporate sponsorship fuck stage, I think is the better way to describe that. And this was hosted by a guy named Big J Okerson. Do you know Big J? You ever heard of Big J?
I've heard of him, like, yeah. Around, but I haven't met him yet.
Yeah, he's awesome. I've worked with him a few times now. Twice before at the Gathering of the Juggalos, which I guess I'll talk about later, but he was there this year. But I think Jay's one of the funniest guys. Like, if you've never heard of him, he's incredible. So he's dirty. He's real funny. He talks fast. He's very sharp-witted. And real like, if you like... if you like Dave Attell, if you like real sort of hardcore adult comedy that's funny and witty at the same time. Dirty, but what would you say? Dirty, but clever.
Yeah.
That's Jay Okerson for you. He's awesome. So he was the host of the stage and got there too late to see Ron Taylor, who's our friend. But I don't know if Ron's been on this show or not, because I lose track of who's been on this show, because I did those live ones. Did you did the live one with me?
Yeah,
right?
he was on one.
Was
of
Ron
those.
On one of those? Yeah, he probably was. I say Ron's a good friend of mine, and I missed Ron's set, but I did get there in time to see Jay introducing Stu McAllister, who we know from Grand Rapids, so shout out to Stu. Mm-hmm. And then Heather Jay came on, who's really great. Who I should have her in here, shouldn't I?
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, she'd
amazing.
Be funny as a guest, too. Heather Jay. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't know if I had her on those live shows or not. I had so many people on those. But Heather Jay was so funny and really killed. And the stage is weird. If you've ever, if you go to this thing, they set up a stage basically by the bathrooms and the beer stand. It's sort of in this like plaza. It's not really where people are sitting to watch the show. It's like this plaza and people are kind of standing around. So it's tough to do this because people are just sort of coming and going. And, you know, some people are there and watching intently and other people are like, well, I was walking to my seat, but I guess I'll stop for a minute and see if this guy's any good. You know, that's kind of how people relate to it, I think. So I think it's a tough stage.
Yeah,
I think
it's
a tough thing. And I've done stuff like this, you know, where you just sort of you're there. You know, there's casino gigs where you're sort of in the kind of the loser's lounge and people are walking past and they're not really no one pays money to get in. And you're just kind of there. It kind of reminded me of that a little bit, although you figure they're there for comedy. They're there for this all day festival thing. So they're probably into it. So I do think you have to grab them, and I think if anyone had a hard time at this, it's probably because of that more than anything. Yeah. You know, you treat it like it's a club where people are sitting down and they're staring at you and they're listening, and if you treat it like that, it doesn't go as well. because, you know, people are buying beer and they're going to the restroom and they're talking with their friends. And so it's hard to get them. But Heather did a great job. And then we had Dan Curry from Lansing. You know Dan?
Yeah, he's a sweetheart.
Dan is I never met Dan. We've been Facebook friends. And he did a great job, though. So shout out to Dan Curry. He did a nice job and kind of closed it out. And, you know, Jay was doing time in between. And I guess he must have done some at the top, too. But it was right as the doors open, too. Like, they open the doors, you walk into this place, and immediately there's a stage, and there's guys standing. And it's not even much of a stage. It's, like, a foot high. And there's, like one of those things where you get shade. Not a tent, but, like,
a pavilion,
a canopy. I don't know why I'm getting the words wrong. I don't know. But anyway, that's what it was. That's what the second stage was. So it's a nice little gig if you can get it.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can.
It feels like you would have to intensely be engaging.
Yeah. Can you lift that mic up just towards your face? It's through no fault of your own. It's the shoddy equipment. Why? It's fine. Yeah. You have to sort of. Yeah. If I was doing that, I would be doing crowd work the whole time and trying to engage people with my jokes. You know, I wouldn't let them just throw them out there and hope that they took them. Mm-hmm. I would sort of force them at, even if it's one guy, because that's a technique I tell people when I teach comedy class. If you can pick one guy and get the joke over to him, people will laugh because they see him laugh. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Contagious.
Yeah, and it'll get contagious, and they're laughing that it's not you. It's not them that they're picking on. It's this guy or whoever. But, yeah, that was a good, see the second stage. Go over to the main stage, and great lineup. Jeff Ross, your MC. Jeffrey Ross, the roast master general. I mean, how can you beat that for an MC, right?
Oh, the energy.
Yeah, he's great. Sass. So Jeff Ross comes out, opens, does a great show. Then we get Rachel Feinstein. You're familiar with her?
I love her impressions.
Yeah. Yeah, the girls like her. She's big with girls. Mm-hmm. And she's hot, so I guess she'd be big with guys. But every girl I know loves her, Rachel Feinstein. So she was very funny. And then we had Bridget Everett. You ever heard of Bridget Everett?
No.
I hadn't either, and I looked her up before I went, and it said that Bridget Everett is a cabaret. Here, let me look this up while I'm talking. That she's like a cabaret entertainer, singer. I want to almost say burlesque performer, but maybe that's me adding to it and not true. But
I had a friend who was there, like, message me. Like, a friend who did not know anything about comedy either.
Yeah.
And she's like, there's this girl.
Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead. I know where you're going. That's why I'm laughing. But
yeah, and she's like, very colorful. flashed people.
Yeah, that's how they describe Bridget Everett. A comedian, actor, writer, and cabaret performer. She describes herself as an alt cabaret performer. She often performs with her band, The Tender Moments, which includes Adrock Horvitz from Beastie Boys.
Oh.
Although he was not there at this. And her first one-hour TV special, Bridget Everett, Gynecological Wonder, premiered on Comedy Central in 2015. I haven't seen that. But I should see it because she was so funny.
She was good?
Yeah, but it's weird because you see that and you kind of, it sounds bad. And I was reading, like, the Facebook page for the Oddball Comedy Tour. It was only the third show, the Detroit show. So there were two shows before, and the reviews of her were hideous. Of the few that put up, said Bridget Everett was a waste of time. Go to the bathroom during her act. She sucks. That was the reviews I read. So I have no expectations for this. And she was so outrageous. She went in the crowd and was, like, grabbing guys and, like, bringing them on stage. She took this 15-year-old kid and, like, had him, like, ride her back. Bridget's a big lady. I don't think I'm talking out of school on that one. So she put a 15-year-old boy on her back and carried him to the stage and proceeded to give him a lap dance and, like, laid him on the floor and, like, kind of sat on him and was singing the whole time, by the way. And I can't even remember what she was singing. It might have been Bridget Everett original material. I was drunk, for one, and for two, maybe that's why this was so great.
Yeah.
I was loaded. But she killed. And then Jeff Ross came out, and she was lap dancing Jeff Ross. And the crowd really went crazy when she was done. She probably only did like less than 20 minutes. But, man, it was funny. She killed it. And it's one of those things that maybe... Yeah, you might be annoyed with that if you went to stand-up comedy. Because I was reading the Facebook review. Some of my friends that were there were saying, well, Bridget Everett killed, but it wasn't stand-up. And I get that complaint about that, you know? Like, I'll do open mics and guys come up and they play the guitar or something. And I always think that's not what people are here for. What are you doing, you idiot? Or, you know, the jugglers, the magicians, whatever.
Yeah.
Sometimes you see those guys and you go, this is not what they want. What are you doing this for? Mm-hmm. And then they get people to clap along and it's lame and it's like a cheap way to get people into it. Right. You've seen all this, Sam.
Yeah.
Just Sam's nodding your head, by the way. If you think Sam disagrees with me, you're wrong. But they do this. And so you think all these things would suck. I thought it was great, mm-hmm. especially when 15,000 people there. And it's broad daylight out. It's probably, what time was she on according to the list? She was approximately on at like 7:30.
Oh, yeah. Like in a venue like that,
yeah. I mean,
she can work that many people.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. So it was great. I'm going to check out her special. Maybe I'll have a review on the next show or something. If I can find Bridget Everett, Gynecological Wonder.
Just have a lot of drinks beforehand. And,
Maybe. Maybe. Actually, you know, this lineup is wrong. The one they posted is wrong. Because before Bridget Everett was Jay Farrow. From SNL, who we all know, and he's been on there for a long time. And Jay's real funny. He's got a 1 hour special. I saw it on Showtime the other night. I didn't watch it. I saw that it was on. I mean, for me, watching comedy like on TV is sort of like hard to do because I work at Comedy Castle, so I'm watching all these shows all week. And then, you know, even going to Oddball on Sunday was tough because I had been 4 days at the castle watching stand up. So it's tough maybe to even relax and do that. So I don't watch a lot of specials, but I know Jay has a 1 hour special on that. But he does great impressions. He did Eddie Murphy, which is funny if you've ever seen him do Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
And his Training Day Denzel, which is a killer. So Jay Farrow was real good. And then Bridget went on. And I guess they must have switched because Jay was probably like, you know, fuck following that. Right? Because who wants to follow Bridget doing all that? So they took an intermission.
Yeah. I mean, especially like if she murdered.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, and she did. It was so great. It was really, really fun. I enjoyed that. But like I said, Jay did a nice job. Rachel did a nice job. So they come back from intermission. You get more Jeff Ross, which is great because he just roasts people out of the crowd. Like he did material at the front where he talked about celebrities a little bit. And then he just was grabbing. He had a camera that was tied into the big screens at the pavilion, you know? And he would just point the camera at people and make fun of their shirt or whatever. But it was real funny. It was great. He brought people on stage, went down in this row, roasted everybody. And it was great. He really is one of the best, Jeff Ross. And then we get Anthony Jeselnik. You a fan?
I think his jokes are witty and clever.
Yeah.
I haven't seen enough of him to be a...
So you're on the fence with Anthony Jeselnik, whether you find him...
Yeah, I mean, I've seen him... from what I have seen, he's done very well.
Yeah, I think he does well. But, you know, when I look at that, I go, well, here's a handsome asshole. Here's a handsome fuck who girls like, who I don't give a shit about. And that's kind of what I felt when he did it. He did fine. I can't say that the guy bombed, because he didn't. But I also thought that his comedy, you know, following Bridget and Jeff, and that to me it was kind of my hand is going like this downhill at this point. I thought it was a bit of a lull in the show. But he's famous, I guess, because he has that show, right?
Yep.
He used to have a show.
Or, yeah, on Comedy Central.
Yeah.
The Jeselnik.
Something.
Yeah. And then he's on Last Comic Standing now.
Oh, is he really? I don't even know.
Yeah, he's the host.
Oh, he's the host. Well, geez. No wonder I don't watch Last Comic Standing. I was wondering why I wasn't watching this season. And he's the host. Now I know. It all makes sense. I have a DVR full of that show, and I don't watch it. I've been anti-Last Comic Standing for a long time on this show. People that listen would know. What do you think?
I'm sad that... I mean, I know they do it for singing, but I'm sad that they turned comedy into competitive,
exactly,
as far as that goes.
Yeah, that's one of the things I hate about it.
Because it's not like we're doing covers of songs.
Right, yeah. You can't say this guy sang Don't Stop Believing better than that guy. Or, you know, in jokes, you wouldn't go, oh, well, this guy's 7-Eleven bit is so much better than that guy's 7-Eleven bit, because they're both not doing 7-Eleven bits.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what is unique to them, and it's a whole thing. And plus, I hate the way that they profile the people. You know what I mean? Like, I want, when you see a comedian, I think you should, if you've never seen them, you should just see them walking out on stage and being funny, rather than seeing like a lot of these shows, America's Got Talent, Guilty of This Too, where, you know, they show the guy walking his dog and dropping his kids off at school and all this stuff. And now the guy's got to go up there and do dick jokes for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And it sort of takes away from that when you see the guy's, you know, the guy's life like that. So.
And that can be like an advantage in some point.
Yeah, you know, it can be, sure. Here's Samantha Rager. She lives in her car. She locked herself out today on the way to the Last Comic Standing audition. And then you go on, and then the people love you because of that. It's not fair.
I get pity laughs. They're like, okay, we'll move you on to the next round for now.
See, you would actually be great on there. That's more for you than me. Because what are they going to say about Joel? Well, there's Joel. He's an asshole with a podcast. And
now, here's this charming fellow. He's ridiculously awesome. Very crafty and handy. Look at this porch. And look at this
with a porch. The porch is, I think, has been stained since you were here last. It looks nice. It does look nice. Thank you. Thank you for the compliment, Sam. I do think if I was on Last Comic Standing, they would somehow get audio of, here's Joel insulting Last Comic Standing for the last 10 seasons on his podcast. And talking about how it sucks. But the other thing is, when I know people that go on and I see them humiliated in a way where they, like, you know, like, and I don't even watch it. I'll say Jimmy Pardo is a friend of mine. And years ago, like maybe season two, you know, he didn't make it into the house or whatever. And they kind of did this thing. They added it where they made it look very sad that like Jimmy Pardo didn't make the house. And I was like, why the fuck are they doing this? He's like the funniest club comic. If you ever see Jimmy Pardo live, it's so awesome. And, you know, I just felt bad. I'm like, well, why are you doing this to the guy? Guy's a great comic. I don't fucking care if he makes it on your stupid show. He doesn't really give a shit. You know? You're fucking embarrassing people. That's what I don't like. Don't embarrass the comics. They're trying hard.
Yeah.
You know, and like MC Sampler was on. You know MC Sampler.
Yes,
he was on Last Comic Standing.
What season?
I don't know, but I might even have a clip if I go through my archives, but I'm not going to right now. But, you know, he went on with his puppet. And was hustled off in about 2 minutes. But that's the guy that you bring on to embarrass, is him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those kind of guys, like we know CC Dynamite, have her on, make fun of her.
You know, I love CC Dynamite.
You love CC Dynamite.
So bad.
All right. Well, Sam, it's been nice having you. Thanks for coming today. I have to have you step out. Tell us why you love CC Dynamite.
Because every time I see her puppet, like, my heart just bursts with joy. And some people say, like, it's mean and it's malicious. You're not, like, laughing with... But I am. I am laughing at, like, what she's saying. And because it's so unlike everything that went before her.
You know, you can't mention CC Dynamite in Detroit comedy. Let me give you a little background if you don't know who she is. She's a crazy lady, right? She's... insane. Like, she is, there's mental problems. And she gets on stage and she talks like a million miles an hour. And basically none of it makes sense, right? Is that safe to say? Mm-hmm. Like, if she stood in front of you and talked for 5 minutes, you wouldn't know what's happening. It wouldn't make sense.
Yeah, if you, like, pay attention and then you have to just, like, it's like a test. Like, like certain things are scattered within, and if you remember certain things, like then maybe you can piece together.
But the whole thing is funny in that you know it's like you're watching a disaster. You know, you're watching a train wreck or something. You're watching like you know shit roll downhill. Like with her, it's just it's a spectacle.
Well, I think like there's a few of us that hope. That she's secretly, I mean, she's secretly like Andy Kaufman.
No, and just... it's not. It's not. I tell you, I can assure you it's not. I can assure you it's not. But and then she has a puppet, right?
Name Skinny.
Is that the puppet's name?
Yes.
See, that's more information than I've been able to glean out of, you know, a CC Dynamite performance is the name of the puppet.
And she tries to make it go down on male comics.
Really?
At open mics.
I've never heard that one.
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe she has a whole new act since I saw her last.
Amber Matt Gully used to like sneak the puppet away and just like pose it next to things and like send me the pictures from that.
Well, but she's somebody. You can have her on and make fun of her. Last comic standing. Not my friends. How'd Ricarlo do? He was on there.
He's
our friend Ricarlo.
He didn't make it past semis.
Yeah, but he did well. He did really well. Good. Well, Dave Landau was on last year. I watched last year.
Mm-hmm.
Who's our friend as well? And Dave, I think Dave's been on the show. Yeah, once at least. And we had, you know, Dave did well. Again, didn't make it all the way, but mm-hmm. went far. All right, so back to Oddball, and then we had. After Anthony Jeselnik, we had a guy named Nick Kroll. Do you know Nick Kroll?
Yes.
Yeah, and here's the thing about Nick that I like. And Nick Kroll has the Kroll Show on Comedy Central, and I believe he was in The League.
Yep.
And you've seen him on a bunch of stuff. Parks and Rec as a guest, and Community as a guest, and a million things. You'll know him if you see him. And I was worried about him because I'm like, how is he going to do stand-up? Because he's not really known as a stand-up. He's kind of this improv guy. That's the way I see him, right? I mean, you agree?
Yep.
Yeah, and I'm like, what's his stand-up going to be about? And, again, I was drunk, but he was so fucking great. I really love Nick Kroll. I was really, I would buy a ticket to the Nick Kroll show. If there was just him, I think I'd want to go to that.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't even know that his material, because I remember his material being a lot about, like, fast food, which is kind of a lame stand-up thing. But here's the thing about Nick Kroll that's so great. He's a great performer. And part of being a good stand-up is the performance of it. It's not just the writing. It's not just what you're talking about or the words on the page. It's being able to perform it. And he's just outstanding. He just has energy and is real funny and makes crazy faces and just has a real expressive face. And just everything about him was great. I really love Nick Kroll. So that was my big surprise, I think, on this show, was how good Nick Kroll was as a stand-up. So I don't know how much stand-up he's going to do anywhere. You know.
Yeah, it would be awesome if I could see. I haven't seen a stand up.
Yeah,
I just seen
him acting. I don't know. I don't even know that there's a stand up special of him or anything. I don't know.
You should.
It's good.
I am into celebrity gossip. That's a sad guilty pleasure.
Okay.
And he and Amy Poehler is a couple.
They're a couple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, good for him. That's good, right? Yeah. They seem about right together,
mm-hmm.
right? And that doesn't hurt his career to be dating her.
No, and I think it's adorable. I'm like, oh yes.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. Good for him. Good for Nick. And, yeah, he was great. And he's pretty famous now, too. And I sort of, when I looked at the bill, I go, well, he has to go later because he's more famous than these people. But I also kind of felt like, well, maybe as a stand-up, he was too high. But then he was great, so it didn't matter. And then we had, I think, obviously, the big draw of the night was Amy Schumer.
Mm-hmm.
Who had Trainwreck, which I think I'll review that later. It's on my list here, which is a huge movie and certainly is the hottest, I think, comedian in the country probably right now.
Yeah.
And she comes on and everyone goes crazy. And Amy does probably 25 minutes, maybe 30 minutes. And it was very good. It wasn't anything special. I've seen Amy do stand up specials and that. Never seen her live before. People loved it. It was great. But it was what I expected, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of talk, jokes about her body. She does that. She talks about having sex. And I don't know. I think she talked a little bit about her newfound celebrity. There was some of that in there, which was interesting. Probably new material. But Amy mm-hmm. was great. And Amy killed and did a great job. And then before we get to the last act of the night, when Amy's done, of course, it's now 10:15 maybe. People start filing out.
Oh, man.
Yeah, which made it tough for the last guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always tough. When I see that, I kind of go, what kind of fucking asshole leaves?
It sounds worse than Check Drop. Like,
yeah, it's kind of like, here's the biggest comic in America, boom, and now it's your turn. And, of course, last guy, not a famous guy, but Aziz Ansari from Parks and Rec,
mm-hmm.
who everybody loves and has many comedy specials. And, you know, he goes on, and I would say 15 to 20% of the people left.
Oh my gosh.
Which is not that many, but it's out of 15,000. That's
yeah.
That's
hundreds.
3,000. Yeah, that's thousands. Yeah, thousands of people. So, or is it hundreds? Maybe it is hundreds.
No, thousands.
Is it thousands? Out of 14,000, it would be 20% would be 2,800 people.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I counted, but I hope Aziz isn't listening. Let's compute how many people walked out of his show. But it's not even like they walked out of his show. Mm-hmm. They just probably felt like, let's beat the traffic and let's get out of here. And Amy Schumer is who we came to see. And let's leave and miss Aziz because whatever. But I think if you leave, you're a dick.
Yes.
I think you're a dick. I think if you walk out early. Look, I get walking out early on the New Way Bar. I get that. If you're in Detroit, I get walking out early on that. I get walking out early on a on an open mic somewhere. But for something like this, you don't fucking walk out on this guy. And Aziz was great. He had a real nice set. It was funny. So
I wonder if he has to go last all the time, because that would suck just to have to deal with that. Or if they trade spots. Like,
yeah, you know,
two.
If I was him, okay, here's what I'm thinking. As a performer, you probably don't want to have to follow Amy Schumer. Okay. Mm-hmm. But he probably had some manager or his agent force that he would be top billed. You know what I mean? There might be some contractual thing where he was given a lot of money to be the guy that was going to be on last. Maybe they put this all together before they knew Trainwreck was going to be what it was. Mm-hmm. And, it might have been a thing where they might have talked about, hey, let's put Amy on last. And maybe not Aziz, but his guy goes, hey, look, we have the deal where we're on last. We're the star. So that could be why. Yeah. But it's probably, at anything like this, it's probably not good to go last.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Amy knows that too and goes, fuck it, I'm not going on that. Fuck him, make him follow me. Right? That could be a good move.
Mm-hmm. Just go. Very smart.
Yeah, you just go, fucking, I don't fucking go on last. People are going to be going to their cars.
Actually modest about it, like, oh no, you can.
Yeah, it's fine. And then you go up there and just destroy and like crush Ozzy. And I don't know that there's any rivalry between the two of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure they're friendly, and he was great too. I mean, he really was really funny and a real good end of the show. I mean, I thought for my money, the last two acts of last year, Jim Jeffries and Bill Burr, were funnier than Amy and Aziz. But as a whole, this was a really strong show. So it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
If you went, enjoy it. If you haven't gone, because it was only the third date, so there's lots more shows to go to if you can get to one, if you're listening to this, wherever you are. I know they're coming to California and Texas and New York and New Jersey and Toronto, so.
All over.
Go to Oddball. You'll see funny people. Go see Jay Oakerson. That's my big takeaway. Jay Oakerson, because they're going to change the acts, too, because they're not everybody. Like, I know. Who's the guy on Silicon Valley? TJ Miller is on some of them. So they're rotating some of these people in and out. But that was good. The Oddball Comedy Festival. Go to that. It's good. Go see whoever. And then every town you go to, that second stage is local people, I think. Oh, yeah. Shout out to Jeff Sheen, who was at the Chicago leg.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jeff Sheen.
Representing Michigan.
Representing. Jeff Sheen's a guy that I always feel like... I kind of gave Jeff Sheen a start. I'm very proud of that. Because Jeff Sheen would come in and do Club Bart, which was, for those of you that don't know, listening, the open mic that I did for like 10 years. And he would come on there, and I would go, you're the last act tonight. Which at that show, you would be 25, the 25th act, and it would be about 1:30 to 2 a.m. We would usually end by 2. So Jeff Sheen was probably on around 1 a.m. For about a year.
Oh, my God.
Maybe a year. I'm estimating this is all in my head, and I don't know. And then one day I said to Jeff, you were funny last week. Let's put you on first. So I literally took him from being the last act on the show to being, after my MC spot, he would be the first act. Because I always like that first guy after the MC should be a guy that can grab people, have some energy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was great. And he never went last again.
That is amazing.
That is amazing.
I'm so sad that I never got to see the Club Bart days.
Yeah, how did you miss that?
Were you just after three months?
You missed it by a little bit. But anyway, so that was Jeff Sheen. So he's doing well.
Mm-hmm.
And he did, I don't know how he did at Oddball, but Jeff's, I think, another guy that was on one of the live shows. And then, speaking of guys that I've helped out, because I'll take some credit. I don't want to sound like a dick, like I don't help anybody in comedy, right? I help lots of people,
mm-hmm.
I think. But Nate Fridson, shout out to him. He headlined Comedy Castle this weekend.
Yeah.
Another guy that did Comedy Castle. I'm sorry, Club Bart. Nate was never a guy that went last because he was pretty much always good. But so I can't take any credit where I looked at Nate and said, oh, you're funny. He was funny right away and he knew it. But Nate had some real good shows this weekend at Comedy Castle and sold out the Saturday 8 o'clock show. And
yeah.
Lots of good stuff. So shout out to Nate. Nate's always good. I like that guy. So he moved out to New York and he's doing it there. Mm-hmm. So it's rare to even see him in Michigan now, but he was great. So shout out to Nate. And I guess, speaking of New York, I should talk about me going to New York. You ready for that?
Yeah. How far? Fun. How long ago was it?
I was in New York in July. Was it August? It was August. August. I don't know, the middle of August. I left the day of the Woodward Dream Cruise.
Oh, you lucky.
I know.
Lucky.
That was the day I flew out that Saturday. Said, let me get the hell out. And I've bitched about the Dream Cruise on this show before, so I'm not going to. But that is, I'm not going to belabor that point. But it's the largest collection of classic cars, I think, in America.
Mm-hmm.
And they all drive up and down Woodward, which is the cross street of where I live. It's literally, what, 10 houses down from me or something? It's right there.
Oh, that'd be horrible.
And so we have lots of drunks. And I actually like old cars,
mm-hmm.
But I don't like old drunks. So I do not like the Dream Cruise. Like, if you just put, you know, if you just had all those cars sitting out on Woodward, I'd go look at them. But they're piloted by idiots, largely, and I don't like that. So I hate the Dream Cruise. It's annoying. So I flew out that day, and the point of me going, I hadn't been to New York in 19 years. Because I went to college there for a little bit. I went to NYU, and I hadn't been. I don't know why I hadn't been, but I just hadn't been. And the reason I went is because Penn and Teller were playing on Broadway, and I'm a big Penn and Teller fan. When you listen to the show, you know, people know I'm into magic. There's magic books all around you, Sam, where you sit, whether you know it or not. There's magic books over here in a pile. There's magic books on the shelf. So I'm into magic, and I'm a big fan of Penn and Teller, and they were doing Broadway, and I said, oh, I should go to that. I had never seen Penn and Teller in Vegas, where they've been for all these years, just because I'm not a real Vegas guy. I feel like that's kind of a... Mm-hmm. Nah, have you ever been to Vegas?
No, it feels like it'd be overstimulation.
Yeah, it's maybe not a good place. You know, it's not, doesn't sound like fun. But I said, New York? Okay, well, now I'm with you. Now you're going to be in New York, I'm there. You know, and I've seen Penn and Teller in Detroit a bunch of times. But I said, let's go to New York, Penn and Teller. Bought tickets, bought front row tickets.
Oh, my gosh.
I think the day they went on sale, I bought front row tickets. They were $240 a piece. Yeah. It was not a cheap. I mean, but I bought these months ago, so I've been planning this thing and, planning this whole trip out. And of course, somewhere in between me buying the tickets and the show actually happening, they added two rows of seats in front of the front row.
Oh, that's horrible.
In the orchestra pit. And then I had a third row seat for Penn and Teller, which is fine. I'm not even complaining. I had a great seat. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I actually sat. Oh, get ready. Here's a nerd alert. I sat next to a guy named Richard Garriott. Are you familiar with him?
It sounds.
He sounds important, doesn't he?
Yes.
He's also known as Lord British. Do you know? You don't know. This is way before your time. He was the creator of the Ultima series of video games. If you don't know, if you know those were big. He was the first guy that sort of took Dungeons and Dragons and made a game out of it, even though it really wasn't Dungeons and Dragons. And these were on like the PC. In like the 80s. I mean, there's Ultimas going up to, you know, the recent times. There's probably still an Ultima you can play now. But he made the real early ones and then sold the company for like millions of dollars.
Oh my gosh.
And then he built a castle in Austin, Texas. You have to look this guy up. He's amazing. He built a castle in Austin, Texas with like secret rooms and like a moat. It's fucking amazing. If you look up Richard Garriott's, mansion in Texas. And then he's the guy, like if I got money, that's what I'd do. I would build a castle. I would have all this shit. And then he was really into space travel. And I don't know what number he was, but he spent 12 days on the International Space Station. With the Russian crew.
Oh, my gosh.
So he spent 12 days in space. And I was a huge fan of Ultima as a kid, and I followed this guy's career. And I'm sitting there, and he walks to get to his seat next to me, and I go, you're Richard, right? And he's like, yeah. I go, holy shit, I'm such a big fan. You know, I was like amazing to like, and he's a magician too. He's like an amateur magician as well. So it was like, wow, I'm sitting with Richard. You know, so having the 200, the front row seat had its perks. I got to sit with a guy who I've kind of been a fan of as well and watched the show. So that was neat.
Yeah.
So we have Richard Garry. Look him up. He's an amazing guy. He's a real maverick. You know, he's one of those like, he's almost like that Virgin guy. What's that guy's name? Richard Branson. He's kind of like him. That's kind of the vibe you get from him. You know, guy that likes to play games and build castles and shit. Richard Garry. So shout out to Richard. He was cool. I talked to him for 5 minutes, but it was just, I mean, I could have talked to him all night.
Yeah.
Tell me what it's like to go to space. Holy fucking shit. Fucking tell me, you know. But I didn't, you know. But, you know, he's an amazing guy. So it was neat to see him, too.
Rub elbows.
Yeah. Literally rubbing elbows with him. So it was great. And then the girl I was with was like, who the fuck is this guy? And I couldn't sit there and go, he's a guy, you know. So, you know, and he was very humble, too. He wasn't bragging. So that was cool. And then Penn & Teller was awesome. I'm so glad I went. It was such a great show. Beautiful theater, the Marquee Theater, right on Times Square there at 46th and Broadway. And great seats and loved the show, as I always do. And then stood in line for an hour to take a picture with Penn & Teller. So that was good, too. I got to do that. And then they meet everybody after the show. It's not like I'm good buddies with them. And they only took a picture with me. But if you can imagine, I had one of the front seats in the house. By the time you get out into the lobby to take your picture, you're the last guy to get into the line. So I stood in line with some guys, a guy named Al from the Bronx, and talked about magic with him for an hour as I waited to meet Penn & Teller. And then I got the picture, and I'll probably put it up on the, maybe I'll put that up on the, do you want to see it real quick?
Yeah.
It'll probably be on the Joel Radio website when I get to that, but yeah, and one thing I've noticed, because I've seen Penn & Teller before, and they normally don't do the photos together. They usually do them separate. So, but they were together on this one, which was unique. So that was really great, and that really made the trip. You know, here I am with Penn & Teller. Did that rotate the right way? There I am, right there. So,
oh my God.
There you go. Yeah,
Penn's so tall.
Penn is very tall. And actually, Teller is taller than me as well. So as much as Teller looks like the short guy, he is a short guy next to Penn. But in the real world, he's kind of an average size guy. And Penn has lost weight. He's lost 100 pounds.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and I made a joke on my Facebook. I put that up and said, I'm now when I'm with Penn and Teller, I am both the fat guy and the short guy. Because Penn is not fat anymore.
I used to love their cameos they did on Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Oh, yeah, they were on there. Yeah, Penn & Teller are great. If you ever get a chance to see them, always see Penn & Teller. It's so great. And you get to meet them after, and that's really cool, too. So that was a great experience. And then what else did I do there that was fun? I took a boat tour around New York Harbor, the Circle Line tour. If you ever get it, you've been to New York, right?
Mm-hmm.
You like it there, right? Everybody likes it there, right? Do you like it there?
I loved it there, but since I went there for a class, I didn't get like a chance to.
Yeah,
to really
you didn't
explore.
Get a chance to be a tourist. Mm-hmm. But the Circle Line tour, I took what's called the Best of New York tour, and for some reason, the Best of New York tour takes you to some of the worst spots because on the north, because it's you go around the whole, you know, Manhattan's an island, so you go all the way around the whole thing. And the top of Manhattan is just like woods and stuff, so there's really nothing to see. But for the first hour and a half, amazing. I mean, you go down past Statue of Liberty. I mean, I have a million pictures of New York, but I don't want to bore you with them now. But yeah, you can see. I'm just for Sam's purposes, I'll show you. You know, the Brooklyn Bridge and the statue. You know, here's the good shot of Statue of Liberty that I got.
Oh, it looks like a postcard.
It does.
Like
people
that,
have said that. Like that is so because they get you that close and you see the Brooklyn Bridge. And you see, you know, there's another man.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so you get to see. It's really great. It was about 30, I think it was $35.
It'd be worth it.
To take a tour, 3-hour tour on a boat.
To be that picturesque.
Lower Manhattan, yeah, it was wonderful. And it was, you know, it was a hot day, kind of like it is today here in Detroit. But the wind was blowing, and you can drink on the boat if you want. I was drunk the night before. I went to, by the way, that's another thing I don't know. I went to Williamsburg, which is hipster central. For a night to go to the bar, just for that.
Does it live up to the stereotype?
The place that I went, which is a place called the Commodore, was absolutely, it was like walking into an episode of Girls. It was in crazy hipster, Like, there wasn't a t-shirt that wasn't ironic in the whole place. There was not. It was, but you know what? It was a blast. It was so fun. Because, you know, there was a guy, I mean, you walk in and there's a guy, you know, spinning mashups on his laptop and people are dancing. And it's this little, and in fact, there's like not even a sign for the Commodore. If you go to the Commodore, it's just like a number on a building. And there's like a guy standing out front that like, what the fuck is this place? You know, it's a dive. It's really a dump. It's supposed to, like, I guess the Commodore is some sort of naval, like it's less than an admiral, but it's a military position, like a naval. So it's naval themed. Hmm. Of course, it's in the middle of Brooklyn. It's nowhere near the water. So that even that's ironic. And then their drink special is a pina colada. So I said, well, why? While I'm in a nautical themed bar in Brooklyn, I'll have the pina coladas. And I might have had four of those.
Oh, so they were good.
I was, yes. I was white girl wasted on pina coladas in Williamsburg. But I met some really cool people there. I met some real nice, you know, and that's the thing. You're not drinking with the tourists. You're drinking with people that live in Brooklyn, you know. So that was really cool. So it was great. I had a nice time there and took a very expensive Uber ride back to Manhattan after that at 3:30 in the morning. But, yeah, the Commodore was a lot of fun. So I recommend that if you want that. If you want that hipster Williamsburg thing.
Yeah.
Although I didn't get there till 12:30 a.m., so maybe Williamsburg, there's more going on during the day, but it compared to Manhattan, I guess I was staying near Times Square, so maybe the change in energy was shocking how quiet that part of Brooklyn was on a Saturday night at 12:30. I went like, oh, it should be hot here, and it kind of wasn't. It was kind of like, okay, I'm walking, and then I see, you know, the Knitting Factory, which is right across the street from the Commodore, which is like a live music venue bar. Kind of a big place, and the Commodore, and that was the only places I even saw in my walk to even go to have a drink.
That's so surprising.
Yeah, it was surprising because you figure I think of like a town like maybe like a Hamtramck here in Detroit,
yeah,
or even Ferndale where I live, where there's bars everywhere and people walking around Williamsburg. Not that part wasn't really like that, but it was still fun. So I enjoyed the Commodore, did that, and then I. After Penn and Teller, I had two more days in the city, and my friend Rob Little was going to be in town. He had been there for weeks beforehand. You know Rob Little? He's a headliner from Michigan originally.
Mm-hmm.
Started with him, and he was trying to just do gigs there, which, you know, I was going to do gigs. I won't say his name because he was a very, very famous, well-known comedian that I'm friendly with. Said, hey, come to New York. I'll get you gigs. And when he finally got a hold of me, I was already in New York, and he goes, yeah, I don't have any gigs for you. So that was disappointing. So I was going to do gigs, but I didn't. But I still had fun. But anyway, Rob was trying to do gigs, and he's like, I hate New York. It's no fun. And I said, well, let's hang out. So the day after Penn and Teller, I said, let's hang out, Rob. So we went over to the Natural History Museum, which is sort of the night at the museum is based on the Natural History Museum. Mm-hmm. I think they might have shot the outside, but the inside is not the Natural History Museum. But it's, you know, inspired by the Naturalist Museum of New York. And me and Rob had a blast doing that. And then we walked across Central Park and went walked down Fifth Avenue past Trump Tower and all the shit on Fifth Ave. Went to Rockefeller Center, which is, you know, a big famous place in New York. Again, tourist central, but it's a place you should see. And I've seen it because I live there, but Rob hadn't. And I said, we'll hang out here. And he was having a good time there. And then we met our friend Dalen. Another guy, you know, Dalen. I don't know if you know Dalen. Mm-mm. Another Detroit comedian who kind of splits his time between New York and Detroit. So he came in just to meet us. And then the next thing you know, there's three of us hanging out drinking. And we're having a good time in Rockefeller Center. Next thing you know, it's 2 a.m. and we're sitting in Times Square completely fucked up getting solicited by prostitutes. So there you go.
Sounds like a true New York experience.
And I did not go with any prostitutes. In fact, the funny thing was we walked up and there were these two really pretty girls who very revealing outfits. And I think I might have said hello because I was drunk and I'm friendly and that's what I might do. And I said, what's going on? And then, you know, they were like, where are you going? And I said, where would you like to go? And the girl goes, "We'd like to go to your room."
Oh,
and I said, and I go, "Well, I don't think we'll be going to my room because, you know, it did not happen." So, but it was one of those things, you know what I mean? Had I been a Japanese tourist, I might have been, you know, taken by two hookers to my hotel room and had a kidney cut out or something.
Hey, $200 will get you a lot closer than third row.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Oh, honey, I just spent $250 for a ticket to Penn and Teller. I have nothing for you. No, but it was funny to see because, you know, they clean up Times Square.
Mm-hmm.
You go there. And the thing about it at night, which was cool, because really Times Square is kind of dirty and it's not fun. It's a lot of people, especially in August. It stinks or whatever. I was there in August. And don't even go really for that. But at night with all the billboards, it's like daylight and it's kind of amazing. So I do recommend it for that. So I was there. And then I spent more time with Rob and Dalen the next day. We went to the top of the Rock, which is at Rockefeller Center. Beautiful, best views of New York are from the top of the Rock. So you're going to say, I'm going to go to the Empire State Building. And that's okay, but you're a little too high. When you go to the top of the Rock, you're a little lower. I think we were 67 floors up.
Oh, my gosh. That's still...
And you can see the park perfectly from Rockefeller Center. You can see... you know, because you can't see Central Park from the Empire State Building because Rockefeller Center blocks it. So if you go to Rockefeller Center, they have the great view of the park and the graveyard. And I took some really amazing pictures there, too. So that was really fun. And then we hung out in the Village and got drunk there, which is where I went to college at NYU over by there. And we sat in Washington Square. So if you're going to New York, definitely spend some time in Washington Square. They have really good street performers there. And there's a huge fountain and you can just kind of sit and people watch. And there was a guy blowing giant bubbles. That was his street performance. And it was really fun. And I was put into a giant bubble.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
With my friend Dalen. Yeah, me and Dalen. You know. Me and another guy in a bubble. You know. Sounds a little gay. But, you know, it's a gay part of New York. So why not?
And you mean happy.
You're happy very in a bubble.
Happy.
And the guy let me make some bubbles. And I got to make some giant bubbles. And it was fun. So... that was great. And then we had drinks, and my friend Chrissy came out. I don't know if you know. She used to date MC Sampler. That's her lineage.
No,
yeah, Chrissy's fun. She lives she lives somewhere in New York with her boyfriend, who was a nice guy, Anthony. So they joined us, and we got drunk there and closed out New York. And really fun. What was that called? The WXOU Radio Bar.
Oh,
I don't know what that even means, but it was a dive. It was in the Village, and it was fun. So shout out to that guy, whoever runs WXOU Radio Bar. That was fun, too. So that was New York.
It makes me want to go back.
It's great. You should go back.
I
want to go back because there's so much stuff I didn't even see.
Yeah, the place is so huge.
Yeah,
and
it
there's
is.
Like, always something to do. And like the
I had dinner in Little Italy my first night, which was fun. Had some really good chicken parm at La Mela.
That sounds phenomenal.
It's one of those things, the thing about you, when you go to Little Italy... you want to go to like a La Mela, which is like, it's not nice. You know, like you think of an Italian restaurant, you think of candles and a guy playing a violin and wine and all that shit. Don't think of that. That's not good. That restaurant. You want, this is what you want. You want a very simple place with that red and white tablecloth. That's the trick. If they've got the red and white tablecloth, that's what you go to because they're going to have the best food. That's the secret. If you go somewhere and it's really, you want just a real simple, and this place is one of those places with the headshots all over the wall, and this famous guy was in here eating at La Mela, and everyone's got their pictures with their arm around the owner, and you can see all the Sopranos guys and all that. And so, yeah, go to La Mela in Little Italy. Good food. So, anyway, that was New York. I got to go back.
Yeah. Are you ever tempted to move there?
I was, boy, when I went to college, I was real tempted to move there, but, you know. When I was in college, my dad was paying for it, and it was fucking super expensive, and he wasn't paying for that, and I had no way to pay for it. Probably, I guess I could have gotten a loan or something, but I stayed home and finished college in Detroit, and then I never did stand-up in New York when I was there earlier, because that was before I started. I lived, I think, two blocks from the Comedy Cellar. That's where the building I lived in was, right on the park there. And I could have, and I walked by the Comedy Cellar every night, and I think almost every night was offered free tickets to get into the club.
Oh my god!
Because you know it would be weeknights and stuff when and the Comedy Cellar wasn't like it is now. Mm-hmm. Now the Comedy Cellar is the big club in New York, and that's where everybody goes, and it's where you see the best guys. But at the time, it was, you know, and again, I remember telling this. Who was I telling this to? It might have been Jay Oakerson, or it might have been another guy that did the gathering, Judah Friedlander. I think it was Judah Friedlander. I was telling this. I said, well, you know, I lived there in 96, and I walked by the cellar every night. He goes, do you know who you would have seen if you would have walked into the cellar in 1996? You would have seen Louis C.K., Louis Black, Dave Attell, me, you know, I mean, Judah Friedlander being him, you know, Jim Norton, and that would have been your lineup for the night, Chris Rock. And that would have been the guys that were playing. And I've been like, yeah, that would have been amazing. But I did not do that. So I did. I do feel like I missed that. It was a missed opportunity.
Definitely.
I was that close. You did. Isn't that where you did your class at the Comedy Cellar?
Yeah.
How was that?
Yeah, I loved it. It was like it was a crazy good experience.
Yeah. And they let you perform there, I take it?
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's the only way you can perform there now.
Is to take the class?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I paid too much money. I paid a lot of money to get on
that stage.
That's
a lot of money. Was it more or less than me going to see Penn & Teller money?
More.
More. Okay. Well, in that case. Well, I hope you got a good picture out of it, because I did, of Penn & Teller. That was the joke. Not a good joke. Well, that's cool. But it's great. I mean, it's a great club. Did you meet any of those famous guys when you were there?
I didn't get to meet any of, like, my teacher was Rick Crum for that.
Okay.
And, I know that he's on a bunch of things, like a lot of cameos.
Okay.
And then they're doing a documentary about him right now.
Okay, cool.
We were warned. They're like, your graduation show, there might be somebody who just pops in and just gets time.
Seinfeld might walk in and you won't be performing at all.
Yeah. And so like, I would just get like, I would get so excited because that's such a small intimate venue. Then I'm like, oh yes.
Yes. That happened. Well, you know, that's a thing I think that people think, because you hear those stories in New York about I'm waiting to go on and all of a sudden Jay Leno shows up and then you get bumped. That, I've been doing comedy for 16 years. I don't know that that's... Well, I can't say that that's never happened, but it's very rare. At least where I'm at, in Detroit. Like, when I ran Club Bart, we would occasionally get the guys from Comedy Castle. The headliners would come over. So we had Greg Giraldo come over. We had Rich Voss come over. So there were nights when I was at Club Bart, and I would say, Adam Sokol, you're going to get bumped because Greg Giraldo's here. We're going to put him on. And so I guess it does happen here, but it's not as... I think people think that happens all the time, and it really doesn't.
I've been bumped by Brandon T. Jackson 2 times.
Well, I'll tell you about Brandon. And Brandon's a guy that I have not seen Brandon. And I think Brandon, what's the name of the show he's on? He's on Craig Robinson's show, right? The Robinsons? Mm-hmm. Is that what it's called? Brandon's on there now. And Brandon was in Tropic Thunder, and he's been in a bunch of movies, and Big Mama's House, number 72, or whichever one that was. Brandon's a guy who got started here. He was 17 years old. And he would come do Club Bart and these other clubs, and I would put him on. And I remember the last time I saw Brandon, because I haven't seen him since he got famous. And I'm guessing you've been bumped recently when he came to town.
Yeah.
Because his family still lives here. And this is what Brandon, he was talking about missed opportunities. This is what he said to me. He said, Joel, I just got back from L.A. And he goes on Bart's. We had to throw him out of Club Bart, because he was 17, so he would go on and perform, and when Brandon got off stage, I would have to hustle Brandon out the door because the owner didn't want a 17-year-old in there because he could lose his liquor license. So Brandon would perform, and I would have to literally take Brandon sort of by his shirt collar and go, come with me, young man, out the door with you. You know, but he always tried hard. He had a lot of attitude. Wasn't a great comic at that point, but certainly had a lot of personality. And I remember the last time Brandon was there, he said to me, as I'm doing my okay, time to go, young man. He goes, Joel, I was just in L.A. and I had a meeting and I'm going to get a TV show. And here's what you're going to do. I want you to call me and you're going to come out to L.A. and we're going to work together and I'm going to blow up. And I took his number, and it's still in my phone to this day. Brandon T. Jackson's phone number. And sure enough, the fucker went out there and got famous, and I never called the asshole. I never once. I had the guy saying, Joel, I'm going to bring you out to L.A. with me. You call me. I think you're funny, Joel. You come out there with me. And meanwhile, I'm like 30 years old. I'm like, I don't want to take this 70. I don't. This kid, this kid's so full of shit. He's completely full of shit. That's what I'm thinking. And sure enough, fucking guy does it.
Yeah, isn't it? Isn't
did it
crazy?
It's
yeah,
crazy.
Just how much? I mean, you just have to like balls to the walls.
Yeah,
kind
the
of,
guy
like,
went
and go
did
for
it.
It,
and good for him. And I have, because I hear people talk about Brandon, and not you, but I've heard people come back. Oh, Brandon, he's not funny. He came back and he went on to Joey's and he sucked and stuff. And then I go, why are you begrudging this guy? He went out. He was a nobody. I mean, he wasn't even big here. Mm-hmm. You know, in Detroit, he was a no. He was just a guy on open mic. Wasn't old enough to be in the club. So I think Brandon's great. I'm all props to him, you know. But you got bumped by him, so I guess that's the thing. Mm-hmm. Well, one day you will be able to bump somebody. Oh, one day you will walk in, Sam, and they will go, oh, wait a minute, Joel. You're going to be coming on, but we have Samantha Rager from the Samantha Rager Project on Comedy Central. And you will come in and bump me.
No.
And you will not talk to me.
False. They'll be like, she's still
me.
Alive. She's still alive. Good for her.
No, it would be you would not be living in your car in L.A.
A van.
That's your
upgrade.
Move.
Elron Taylor.
Well, you and Heather might be sharing that van. But anyway. But yeah. So Brandon T. Jackson. What'd you think of Brandon?
He was very charismatic.
Yeah, he is. He is. That's the thing about him.
Yeah, he has like
it goes a long way.
Yeah, he has a lot of stage presence. I think I don't think I got an opportunity to see his real jokes. He did a lot of crowd work because a lot of his family was there.
Oh, okay,
so,
cool. Yeah, Brandon. I should have Brandon on the show. I should get a hold of him. I think. See the thing about me not even like getting a hold of Brandon now that he's famous and I knew him when, is I think if he was an asshole, it would bother me. You know, if he said, "Oh, I don't remember you," or I think I would feel like, "Oh, I don't want to know that about him." Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm almost better not because you know I've met lots of famous people, and they're not all. Some of them are dicks, and that always, you know, if you like somebody and they're a dick to you, you know, you feel I feel bad when I, you know what I'm saying. So if I think if Brandon, if I met him and he was not nice to me, I think I would be hurt.
Yeah.
For
good reason.
Yeah,
too.
I think so. I and I'm not saying he wouldn't recognize me or know who I am at this point. I don't know.
I definitely think he would because like that, like anybody's like when you first start doing stand, you like remember everything about it.
Right.
And so, I mean,
you don't think he's forgotten where he came from?
Yeah.
At this point, Brandon T. Jackson. Well, we'll see. I should have. He probably is promoting the show. I probably could have got him on here, but. We'll have to wait. I have Sam. I don't have time for him. I've got you here. The hell? Yeah.
Who's bumped now,
yeah,
Brandon?
Yeah, Brandon, take that. Brandon, call me when you get locked out of your car, okay? Then we'll talk. Well, here's the deal. Brandon T. Jackson, when you're living in your car, call me. Then you're booked. You're right in right then. When Brandon's booked. All right. Well, that was New York. Let's move on to what else we got? The Gathering of the Juggalos? God, should I... You know what? Juggalos listen to this show, a lot of them. If you're a Juggalo, whoop, whoop. Shout out to Juggalos if you're listening. But, you know, I go there. I perform as Upchuck the Clown. People that listen know this about me. And I usually, in the past, I've done really long reviews about everything that happened. Mm-hmm. I don't see everything anymore at the Gathering. And I don't know if it's because I'm busier running the stage that I run over there now or whatever. But I only saw the stuff at my stage for the most part. Which is the artist seminars, which are great, but there's no real need to recap what Twisted was up to in their seminar, because if you're a fan of Twisted, you know that already, so there's no reason for me to recap that. And, you know, so it really was just the stand-up, I think, that anyone would be interested in. And we had some really good stand-ups. We had Godfrey,
mm-hmm.
Funny, real funny dude, love Godfrey, he was great. And then we had Big J. Okerson, who I've already talked about. Who's, I think, one of the best comics in the country right now. Go see Big J. We had him on the second night. And then I think the last comic we had was Judah Friedlander, who's great from 30 Rock. And he's in Wet Hot American Summer and all that stuff. And Judah's great. You know him. He's the world champion. That's his gimmick with the hat and the whole thing.
I loved him on L of the 70s.
Yeah, Judah's great. Mm-hmm. Judah's real funny. So shout out to Judah. Good guy. And Jay, of course, Godfrey. All those guys are real funny. I enjoyed it. If you're a Juggalo, I just want you to know I had a great time. If you're a fan, and also if you're a fan of mine, say hi to me at these things. It's okay. Because I'll hear from people, oh, yeah, I saw you. You looked busy. I didn't want to say anything. And I go, no, come say hi to me. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? And lots of people do. I took lots of pictures of people and stuff. But if I'm there and you see me, say hi to me. It makes me feel nice to know that you like me. Because the people that don't like me, they let me know right away. Those people I'm well aware of who doesn't
like me. For
real?
Like they don't.
Oh, yeah. There's a few. When you get famous, Sam, let me tell you about being famous. And I can only tell you about being famous at the Gathering of the Juggalos. Because otherwise, I'm not famous at all. And you know that.
False. False. I disagree with that.
Believe me. This is the only place that I am famous is at the Gathering of the Juggalos or an ICP event of that type. You know, when the more famous you get, the more people dislike you, too. So if you're an unknown, probably everybody, you know, maybe they don't know you, but nobody hates you.
Yeah.
You know? And when somebody hates you, I mean, I had a whole thing with I would term it a stalker.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I had a whole thing. And, you know, and it wasn't like, you know, a hot girl stalker who wants to fuck me. I would handle that properly. This was an angry man who wanted to hurt me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I went through that with the Juggalos. But I still love the Juggalos, and I love ICP, and those guys are great, and I had a great time doing the gathering, and I think there was a moment there where I think I've had enough of this shit when I was dealing with that guy, but I think I've kind of resolved that at this point.
How long ago was that?
It went on for years. I probably, the zenith of it, the height of it, was probably about 2 years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was not pleasant. It was the dark side of fame.
Yeah,
the dark side of
did he come really close? Like, did he find where he lived? Or?
It was more about when I was at these events, things would happen. Yeah, it wasn't. I don't know if he found out where I live, but I think you can probably find out where I live if you wanted to. So, you know, it made me think about that as well. You know, my home, everything. So, but like I said, I think I took care of it. I think.
Hopefully, yeah.
Hopefully, you know. But anyway. All right, let's move on. Let's get into some things here. Let's do movie reviews. Why don't we do that? Because, God, I've seen... What did you see movie-wise this summer, Sam? Tell us what you went to.
I saw Get Hard.
Okay.
The second run at the Allen Park Cinema.
Well, you don't have to tell us that you saw it. You don't have to make your story that much sadder. I saw Get Hard like 6 months after it came out.
The Angelina Jolie one that she directed about the Olympic.
Yeah, but that was from like last
I also saw
Christmas.
I saw in the theaters, second run as well.
That was I saw that movie on Blu-ray. It was what was that called? That was pretty good. It was long. It was a lot of the guy getting beaten with shit. Which
fighting a shark with this bear.
Yeah. Well, what was the name of that movie? I can't remember. But anyway, you'll know it. The guy that survived a POW camp in World War II.
Jurassic World.
Jurassic World was good. Yes, I've talked about it on the show already. Very good movie.
I'm like so behind with my movie.
No, it's okay. Well, it's been 6 weeks. I've seen some movies since I was here last. I'm not talking about anything recent, but I did see Trainwreck with Amy Schumer. Did you see that?
No.
No, it's great. You should see that. You would like that. It's very funny.
I have to wait another 6 months.
Yeah? Is that it?
For it to come to the Dollar
You're
going
to wait for
it?
That's where you got to go? All right.
So it was good?
Yeah, very funny. Really good. In fact, I went to the drive-in to see Trainwreck with Heather, actually, right before she left. We had a little date night at the drive-in. It was fun. So,
it
was
sweet.
Good. Yeah, Trainwreck's real funny. A lot of, you know, Amy Schumer's funny in it. Bill Hader's in it. He's real good in it.
LeBron.
LeBron is in it. LeBron is, you know, he's LeBron. I was like, LeBron is like the greatest. It's like, You know, he doesn't stumble over his lines. And he acts pretty good for LeBron. But, no one's putting LeBron in any, you know, there's not going to be a LeBron movie. Well, I guess they're going to do Space Jam 2 with him or something.
Yeah.
But it was not like, you know, LeBron was hilarious. John Cena was funny. The guy from WWE, if you've ever seen him.
Mm-hmm.
he is basically nude in a love scene with Amy Schumer, which is very funny. And God, who else was in that? Lots of funny people. Colin Quinn plays her dad.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah. Which you kind of think Colin Quinn's not old enough to be her dad, but I don't know. I guess he is.
That's so odd. Like I would think like maybe like a 10 or 15 year difference.
Amy Schumer's like 30 and he might be 60 now or 50.
Oh, well, I guess. I guess that.
But I don't think of Colin Quinn as an old guy. I think here's this hot young comedian, Colin Quinn. But he was really funny in it. And the girl from SNL played her coworker, best friend, Vanessa Bayer.
Mm.
The redhead lady from that. She's good.
Yeah, she's very funny. Enthusiastic.
Yeah. And then what's her name? I didn't even recognize her as the boss. Tilda Swinton. Do you know who that is? You'd probably know her if you saw her. But she's like this English actress who kind of plays like scary looking people. I guess when she was younger, she played more beautiful women, but now she's kind of like a villain in a lot of stuff. But they made her up like they gave her like a suntan and you like wouldn't recognize her. And she has an it's really good. She Tilda Swinton. She's a chameleon. She's one of those actresses.
Oh.
Yeah, Tilda Swinton. She's the boss and she's really good in that. So go see Trainwreck. I think it's one of Judd Apatow's best movies. Again, his movies though, always too long. Did you see Funny People?
Mm-mm.
Too long. 3 hours of that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Too much. Good movie. Good movie about stand up too, I think. Funny People. He made that. It was good. This is 40 was his last movie. Not good. With Paul Rudd and his wife, whatever her name is. The actress. Do you know her name?
No.
I'm really bad with names sometimes. I come on here. Sometimes when I'm reviewing a movie, I print out the names. Like, here's all the names from Oddball Comedy Festival on a piece of paper so I could get that right. But no, the cast of Trainwreck or the Judd Apatow movies, I don't remember. But
I hear that she's, or Amy Schumer is writing that movie with Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, I've heard that too, yeah. I wonder how that's going
to
be.
Yeah, if it'll ever come to fruition.
You know, sometimes I feel like maybe, you know, women especially, and sadly, sometimes they get one movie and then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You never, you know, you kind of become Janine Garofalo. She might have had 3 movies, but where is she now? Do you remember her?
Yeah.
That might be even before your time.
I know that when she got like her news ish kind of show,
yeah,
that like she kept on it got to her emotionally, like when she went online and read comments,
people didn't like it.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so she like now doesn't have like she doesn't have a cell phone. Oh. She doesn't have
wow.
Yeah. She completely disconnected.
You have a cell phone.
Yeah.
You're doing better than Janine Garofalo. But sometimes, you know, because Janine Garofalo was like that. She was the the girl next door, funny, pretty, you know, but not model hot, you know what I mean? But approachable, funny, mm-hmm, actress, you know, and kind of disappeared after a few years. So you worry when you see that about Amy Schumer that, like, oh, maybe, you know, she'll do. Like Kristen Wiig, who certainly hasn't disappeared, and she's in the new Ghostbusters that they're making. But she had Bridesmaids, and then, you know, what'd you see her in after that?
Yeah,
like some small like indie movies and stuff, but not really the leading lady. So Melissa McCarthy is hot now too.
Yeah,
a Spy was very funny. I don't know if I've talked about Spy in the show, but I did see that. That was good, where she's a spy movie. That movie was very funny. I probably have talked about it on here. I think with Heather because we saw that together. Paul Feig went to my high school, directed that.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know him. He's older than I am, so we were never there together, but we're both Chippewa Valley High School. Big Reds.
Where's Chippewa Valley?
Clinton Township, Michigan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You ever been there?
No.
No, don't.
We have like a Chippewa Nature Center up in the Tri-Cities.
And okay.
Were you close?
Well, the Chippewa Indians, I could see. It's, you know, I went to this school district, the Chippewa Valley School District. And maybe that's not even the case now. I don't know. All of the schools were named after like Indian tribes. So there was like Ojibwa Elementary and like I went to Ottawa Elementary and Algonquin Middle School and these things. And now I think that's horribly racist, right? I think you're not supposed to do that.
I think as long as like the mascot isn't... like this.
I you know what? I wish I had the Chippewa Valley Big Reds mascot. Actually, have, I have a yearbook out in the other room that we could get.
Oh, but wow. It's, so the Big Red was referring to
it's a big red Indian guy with a head and like a mohawk and a feather and the whole thing. Yeah, it was pretty racist. It wasn't as bad as like the Cleveland. Is it the Cleveland Indian or the Atlanta Brave? Where he's got a big giant nose and, you know, like...
Washington Redskins.
Yeah, yeah. It's more like the Washington Redskins. The Washington Redskin one isn't a caricature of an Indian. It's more of like a regular portrait of an Indian. But I think like the, I think it's the Cleveland Indian.
Yeah,
guy
the Cleveland Indian
is kind of like I don't know if he's smoking a big cigar or he's kind of giving a thumbs up or something. It's something racist though. It is something like, you know, he's selling you beads. There's something like that with the Cleveland Indian. But anyway, and then I saw Ant-Man, which I know I haven't talked about yet on the show. That was you know, I'm not a big Marvel movie guy, but I do see them sometimes. And I thought Ant-Man was pretty good for that, for that kind of movie.
I want to see Ant-Man.
Ant-Man was pretty good. I think you need to see, I like to see the origin story movies, which I know there's comic book guys who are like, oh, the origin story is so boring. It's the same shit. But I think that's why those work. Mm-hmm. I think when they make the origin story, like they're more popular because people... It's such an easy, you know, you want to see where he got his powers from.
Yeah.
And that's all that's in this movie is, you know, I think Paul Rudd, I'm trying to remember, because that's the other thing about the Marvel movies. They don't stick with me because they're sort of bubblegum and you forget. He's a thief and he has to break into a building. And then the scientist played by Michael Douglas, who has this building, says this guy would be a good guy to help me break in. Or no, he's trying to steal from Michael Douglas. Michael Douglas catches him and says, I've caught you breaking into my building, so now you must use my nanotechnology to become Ant-Man. That's basically the summary. And then he becomes this little tiny man. He puts on a suit and, you know. And he does it all to help support his daughter, for which he is a divorced parent or something.
Convenient as for romance.
Yeah. It pulls at your heartstrings.
I had a couple feminist friends who were kind of upset with Marvel because Wasp was supposed to have several scenes.
And
they all got cut, and then except for that
is
last.
Is there Wasp? And Wasp is like a girl?
Mm-hmm. It's one of those after credits things.
Oh, okay. Maybe I left before the after credits thing. I got fed up with those, too. That's another thing I hate about those. Because I think when I saw the new Avengers, the Age of Ultron... I waited for the after credits thing, and there was a little short one, but there was nothing at the end of the credits. So I think on Ant-Man, I said, fuck all this, and I just walked out, and maybe I missed that. But yeah, Ant-Man's good. I liked it. But they'll make another one, and they'll put Wasp in that.
Mm-hmm.
They have to.
Yep. She's either going to be in the next one or the next Avengers.
The next Avengers. Oh. Mm-hmm. Ready for that?
Yeah,
I think at some point people are going to stop going to these. I don't know what that's going when that's going to be.
Yeah, it's so
right?
weird.
It's too many.
The fanfare around it is so.
But I feel like even with these, it wasn't as big as it was. You know, even if Avengers was the biggest movie, actually wasn't the biggest movie because I think Jurassic World was the biggest movie this summer. But it's still big, but it's not as big as it was. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things have come along and that have been bigger.
Yeah. I think it'll be like kind of similar to like Harry Potter or the Twilight series, where like the last one, like once they get to the last one of the universe, like that'll be huge again.
You think?
Yeah.
Or you don't think they'll just fade away? They'll just make one that everyone sucks. Like, okay, fuck all this shit. Reboot.
I think they
start
might
start it all over. Or they'll have a chance for everyone to say goodbye and... Mm-hmm. Robert Downey is as Iron Man, and we'll see his last appearance. And you think so?
Yeah, I think that's my hypothesis.
It could go that way. I mean, every time you see these Marvel people and even the DC movie people, they tell you we've got a 17-year plan for all these movies, and they lay them out, and it's like that just feels weird to me too, because that doesn't feel like they're organically making these because they need to be made or. You know, there's this great artistic desire to make it. They're making it for commerce and like, oh, Avengers 3 this year and then Guardians of the Galaxy 2 this year and then this one. And it just, it starts to feel like an assembly line.
Yeah, the storylines are so intricate too. They make you see all of them.
Yeah,
you
have
to
see all of them.
Everything.
And I don't see all of them, and maybe that's why I don't enjoy them as much as some people.
And I'm really into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. too. And
oh, yeah?
Yeah. And
I think those guys might have been in the Avengers for a second, or in Ant-Man for a second.
Briefly, because I know Joss Whedon wants it, to connect somehow, but wants it to be its own thing as well. So there's bits and pieces that can, like a puzzle that you can fit together, but you can also watch it separately.
So you need to see all of this.
Yeah. And then Agent Carter. I'm a fan of Agent Carter as well.
You are?
Yeah.
Wow. And isn't she, she's like the 40s spy or something, or superhero?
Yep.
Is she, what's her power?
She doesn't have,
she's just like an agent.
She's BA. That's
okay.
That's what I love about her. It's like, I'm like, oh, so if I got in really good shape, and I could be Agent
you
Carter.
You would be Agent Sam? Of the Marvel Universe?
Mm-hmm. Get some schnazzy clothes.
You would have, here's what you would have. You would have a car that had superpowers. That you could never lock yourself out of.
Yes.
Was comfortable to sleep in.
Mm-hmm.
You would have, that would be your gimmick. That would be your Marvel superhero.
Yes, the most comfortable car home.
Transportation is Sam. Never get a flat tire. It would always start. No flood would wash it down the street. None of that.
Good old Sam. What's her power? She's reliable.
That's like, right. That's right. She has a Honda. It always goes. It's no problem. And then I saw, you know, because when you go to the drive-in, you see the double feature.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with me and Heather, we had seen a lot of the other double feature movies that would have been the second movie. Because, you know, when you go to this drive-in, like the Ford Wyoming and Dearborn, if you're going to a drive-in, you have a car. That's where you should go, is really hang out at the drive-in. You can just sleep there and watch movies.
All day.
Think of that. Anyway, you can kind of drive if you watch the first movie and you don't want to watch the movie that's the double feature with the movie that you paid to watch. You can kind of drive your car and watch another screen, if that makes sense to you. Mm-hmm. But I think we had seen all of those or something, or Trainwreck was so long that we couldn't see the other ones. They had all started. So we watched a movie called The Gallows, which is a horror movie about teenagers in a haunted school auditorium. They break in at night, and it's one of those found footage movies where it's like it's all taped on some guy's phone or his, I forget if he had a video camera, and like they find it later. It was one of those. Mm-hmm. And it was terrible. It wasn't scary to me. I think Heather enjoyed the end of it. She thought was scary, but it was annoying. The appeal to me was that one of the stars, I guess the female lead, although it was like five teenagers, you know how it is, and three of them die or four of them die, whatever. But it was Cassidy Gifford, who was the daughter of Kathy Lee and Frank Gifford. She was the female star. So I said, oh, I need to watch that. Because she was, you know, if you remember Kathy Lee in when she was on with Regis,
mm-hmm.
she would always trot out her perfect family in little Cassidy. And that, and I was like, oh, here's a talentless hump who's coming on the screen. You know, I hate watched it, basically. I went to watch how bad Kathy Lee's daughter was going to be in the worst horror movie ever made. And it was the worst horror movie ever made. But sadly for me, Kathy Lee's daughter was just fine. She was good, so. She actually looks good. She's cute. So,
how old is she now?
She's probably 21 or something. But you know, she was playing 17 or, you know, playing a high school girl. And, you know, she was fine. It was a terrible movie. It was a terrible horror movie. People. Okay. You know how would you kill? Let me ask you this. You're setting a horror movie in a high school auditorium where there's like a play happening. Okay. So imagine they're set dressing. How would you kill the people if they were to die?
If there was a play happening.
Yeah. And you did all that high school drama stuff, right? So you would know this would be perfect for you. Yeah. How would you kill people in a high school play setting?
My high school was like very into theater.
Okay.
And so we had like a lot of special effects.
Okay.
And
you're getting warm. Keep going.
I think like any time there was like a big like electric flash or something like that, like maybe like like stabbing time.
Okay. Keep going. You're getting there. You're getting close.
If there was a scene in the play with a murder,
okay,
actually have the murder take place.
Ah, you're very close. You're hot. You're not well. Someone is hung. It's a play about the Revolutionary War, and someone is hung for being a traitor. And they actually died in the hanging in the 80s when they did the play. And that's why the theater's haunted. So that's kind of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the right answer, what we were really looking for, was all those ropes and shit were pulling people up into the, you know what I mean? The curtains and all of the sandbags falling on people and trap doors and people running in the catwalks and that, all that stuff.
Yeah, it's just interesting. Like,
sounds like you want to see this movie.
Yeah, I love horror movies, but like I have such bad paranoia that I had to stop watching them because I feel like this is gonna happen. Like Sam, no, it's not. Sam, that's not. I'm like, no, this is happening. Right? Do you guys hear that creak? And they're like, yeah, the wind, Sam. I think as our society has such an interesting way of wanting to kill teenagers in movies.
Yeah, young women. We like to chop them up and
Oh, they were expendable. They're at an age where it's not gonna be that sad if they
right.
They're
right.
Mouthy.
Yeah. They didn't have much to contribute.
Yeah. They were asking for it.
Oh. They snuck beer out of their parents' refrigerator. You deserve to be chopped up into a million pieces.
Yeah. Here's a warning to you kids.
You were making out in the backseat of a car. You deserve to be impaled with a pitchfork. You know, that's the morality of the horror movie, isn't it?
All voyeurs want to kill.
Right, yeah. Yeah. And then you root for them, it seems like.
Yeah.
Sometimes. I guess in this movie, you're kind of rooting against the kids because they break into the school.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so it's vandals.
They're vandals. Because I think they heard that the theater is haunted because this person died in the play, and so they break in at night for a cheap thrill, and then of course they get locked in, and then the movie, then they all die, but not all of them. I think Kathy Lee's daughter might have lived. I can't remember. The Gallows, look for that.
Yes,
I'm at your dollar theater.
Mm-hmm. And that reminds me, R.I.P. Wes Craven.
Wes Craven, yeah, very sad. Yeah, that's too bad, Wes Craven. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that he had what, brain cancer, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't done celebrity deaths. Wes Craven. We had Rowdy Roddy Piper since I've talked to you guys last on the show. Mm-hmm. A guy that I loved, a big wrestling fan in the 80s, and I got to do a show with Rowdy Roddy Piper at the Gathering of the Juggalos. Again, all back to that. He came and did, I'll tell you a funny story about Rowdy Roddy Piper, and then we'll say goodbye on such an uplifting note. But I think it's a funny story. Rowdy Roddy Piper came in, and I was told he was doing stand-up. That's what we billed him as doing. He was on the comedy stage. We had comedians booked all weekend there. I believe he was on the same bill with a guy named Steve Sabo, who you might know. Mm-hmm. Steve's been on this show. People will know Steve. And Piper's billed to do stand-up, and I think I was getting ready. The show was going to begin in an hour or two or whatever, and Piper was doing wrestling. We do wrestling at the Gathering, and there's a wrestling stage. Piper was at the wrestling stage, and me and Sabo were hanging out there, and I was like, well, let's go find Piper because he's not here. We have to do stand-up. We have a big crowd gathering at the comedy stage. Let's get Piper, and we can do that. So we got on the golf cart, we ride down to the wrestling stage, and I find Roddy Piper backstage. And, you know, I'm dressed as a clown. I'm dressed as Upchuck the Clown. And I meet, you know, in this, you know, giant backstage wrestling dressing room with all these legends of people that I know. I have to introduce myself to Rowdy Roddy Piper and say, hey, Roddy, you know, we've got comedy booked. I'll take you up there, and me and Steve are doing the show, and you got to come. And he goes, no. He goes, I'm not here to do stand-up. I don't do stand-up. I'm not here to do that. I don't really want to do that. And I go, well, Roddy, we've got a big crowd waiting for you. And, you know, if you don't show up, they're going to kill me. You know, And he, yeah, and I go, come on, Roddy, save a clown's life. They're going to kill me. And he starts laughing. He goes, I'll save a clown's life. And so it kind of cracked him up that I said that to him that way. Like, save a clown's life. He goes, well, I'll tell you what. I'll do a Q&A. And we'll both go up there, and you can ask me questions, and I'll take questions from the crowd. We'll do a Q&A. I said, fine, that's fine. So, you know, so Piper did his Piper's Pit or whatever, his interview thing in the wrestling show, and gets on the golf cart. We go to the comedy stage, and Piper, and I took a real good picture with Piper backstage, which is, I think that's my Facebook profile picture right now, if anyone wants to look at that. For my friend on Facebook, look at that. Piper... So we get on stage, and he's the nicest guy backstage, real easy to deal with. I was a little concerned that he didn't want to do stand-up and just wanted to take questions, but I know his career. I say I can ask him questions about They Live, the great, did you ever see They Live?
Mm-mm.
Oh, great movie, great alien invasion movie that John Carpenter directed from the 80s, and he's so awesome in it. It's really amazing, great movie. And Piper did a lot of movies, and I think the rest of them sucked, but They Live They Live is an all-time classic, and he's great. So I can ask him about They Live. I can ask him about Hulk Hogan and fighting Mr. T at WrestleMania, and I have all these questions for Piper. So we get on stage, and when we hit the stage, Piper changed. Like, he became real intense. And I was a little worried about how the show would go, because I think one of the first questions was, I said, who in the crowd has a question? And a guy raised his hand and said, hey, Roddy, I said, yeah, what's your question? He goes, Roddy, can you kick the clown in the nuts? That's the first question. So I'm worried now. Yeah. And at first I kind of went like, well, Roddy Piper, but now he's sort of intense on stage. And, I look at Roddy and he kind of looks at me and kind of gives me a nod like, you know, and the crowd is going crazy because they want to see me get kicked in the nuts because they love me so much. So Piper kind of looks at me and kind of does one of these things like, hey, I'll kick you, but I won't hurt you, like wrestling style.
Mm.
And I went like, okay, and I kind of spread my legs and I stand there and I get ready for Roddy to kick me in the nuts. And like a pro, he sort of kicked me not in the nuts, but in the upper thigh. And, of course, I know, because I'm going to play along with wrestling, that I'm going to go down like I've been hit as hard as I have in the nuts, and I can't breathe. I'm going to make a good show here, right? Like, that's what's required of me to be part of the Roddy Piper act, is to act like I've been horribly injured in the nuts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I plan on doing that and going down. But meanwhile, like, the stage had some, like, water on it. There was condensation from the roof of this tent that there was, I mean. And I slipped in this puddle of water and, like, legitimately hurt my knee going down. So I actually went down in pain, but not from his kick, but because I twisted my knee on this horribly wet stage. And so that was weird. And I went like, okay, now I'm hurt. Let's continue. Then a guy comes out of the crowd. If that wasn't enough destruction for these animals that are watching the show, these awful juggalos. I only say awful, meaning the people that were there at that show. A guy, bloodthirsty juggalos. That's a better word. A guy goes, Roddy, can you put me in the sleeper hold? Guy out of the crowd. I'll never forget. Young guy. He had to be 20 years old. Black guy. Young, skinny black guy. And Piper. And I go, you sure you want to do this? And I go, well, he sort of protected me on the kick. Mm-hmm. I'll let Roddy put this guy in the sleeper hold. Why not, you know?
Yeah.
So this kid walks up, and Roddy's, you know, right next to me, and he grabs the guy, and he puts his arms, you know, around his neck and starts squeezing. And I'm looking, and I see the guy's eyes roll into the back of his head. The guy goes completely unconscious. Roddy drops him, and he hits smack down on the stage completely asleep. This guy was not faking. Like, Roddy really hurt this kid.
Oh, my God!
And I was like, holy fucking shit. And I'm like there. I like wake this kid up and he wakes up in a few seconds and he leaves and he's, you know, whatever. He's no the worse for wear. And you know, and I said, OK, that's enough. I'm not going to take any more questions. And I think I said that. I said, OK, that's enough physical stuff between me getting kicked and this guy getting put to sleep where we wouldn't do that anymore. And then Roddy, then I asked him all the questions about wrestling. And I think he smoked somebody's bong out of the crowd. And that ended up on TMZ. Because I know I got some calls about that, why he was very upset that Roddy Piper was smoking pot on TMZ at the comedy stage of the Gathering of the Juggalos. But, yeah, that's my Roddy Piper story. So I was pretty memorable.
Yeah.
Memorable thing.
TMZ.
Yeah, TMZ. And I guess I was on TMZ. I guess you could probably see me when that happened.
Yeah.
I haven't looked for the clip. I'm sure you can find the Roddy Piper.
I'm going to Google it.
But he was not, he was not proud of being caught smoking pot because he has kids and he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to, in public, smoke pot. But sometimes you have to do that at the gathering. When you're doing comedy, people hand you pot. They hand you weed. And some people do it and some don't.
Just say no.
Yeah, you can. Well, here's a funny story about that. Brian Posehn, who you probably know who Brian is, right? People know Brian. He's a really funny guy, kind of a nerd. He's like a nerd metal comic, I guess we had to describe Brian's style. Really funny guy, though. Real great comic. And he was really known for being way into pot. And he showed up at the gathering, and, before the show, I was talking to him, and he goes, well, you know, I was like... I said, well, Brian, they might hand you pot. You know, it happens. You don't have to do it. And he goes, well, I stopped smoking pot a few months ago. And I said, you stopped smoking pot? And he goes, yeah, I stopped smoking pot. I said, Brian, your whole act is about pot. He goes, yeah, not anymore. It used to be, and I don't really smoke pot anymore. Okay, well, if they hand it to you, you just have to say no. But I think they're expecting you to smoke pot. I think that's kind of why you're here. And then he's like, I'm not going to. Brian's doing his act and get pot. Oh, no pot. And he tells his jokes and he's doing well, but they never stopped asking for. So eventually he just goes, oh, fuck it. Give it to me. And the next thing you know, Posehn is back on the weed at the gathering. So that was kind of sad. Yeah, I felt bad about that. But even Gilbert Gottfried smoked pot at the gathering on stage. So that was interesting. I think Gilbert might have fake smoked the pot. I think he might have put the bong. Because it was a glass bong, so you can sort of, put the light into it and just kind of hold your lips on it. So I never really found out if Gilbert really smoked the pot, but that surprised me when he went, because he's old, and he's Gilbert.
Yeah.
he's very frail, that Gilbert. And but that was great, too. So anyway, I don't know. Anyway, there's the gathering review and all that. I think that's all I got. I think that's the show. But I was very busy. That's why I couldn't do a show for 6 weeks.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot.
New York, gathering,
weeks.
Oddball, movies, drive-ins, everything. I don't know.
Yeah.
I should tell you what else is coming up. What else do I? What do I have coming up? Anyone can go to. I don't know. Oh, I have advanced comedy class at Comedy Castle. Mm-hmm. If you're a comic, if you've got a year's of experience, or you've finished the beginner comedy class with Bill Burchard, I will start a new advanced comedy class starting a week from Saturday. That's September 12th at 2 p.m. at the Comedy Castle in Royal Oak. So if anyone listening wants to take that, you can listen to me even more.
How much are the classes?
It's $175. It's 6 weeks.
It's a good deal.
There's a showcase at the end at the Comedy Castle. And we do what I call field trips, where we all go out together to open mics and go do shows there. So we'll probably go to like New Way Bar and Laugh Tracks and places like that and to try things. And you'll also get some opportunities at Comedy Castle to do some of the Wednesdays and stuff. So it's a real good class. You're going to learn how to become a working comic, become an MC. It's real intensive. There's a lot of information. Everyone that's taken it has loved it. And a lot of those guys I know are going to be some of the MCs that are going to be working at the Comedy Castle in 2016. So
that's awesome.
If you're somebody who's interested in doing that, you can always hit me up. Hit me up on Facebook or joelthecomic@gmail.com. But if you want to just register, call the Comedy Castle at 248-542-9900. Once again, 542-9900. Go to comedycastle.com. There's information on there, too. 248-542-9900. And register because it's a limited space. Mm-hmm. Because I only take enough to fill up like a showcase show, which is 12 or 13 people that we, when we do our Wednesday thing, so it's not too long. So I limit it to that. So very limited space. I know we're at least half full as we're talking now. So that'll start again September 12th at 2 p.m. if you want to learn some comedy from me. If you haven't learned enough from this show. And they learned a lot today.
Yeah.
What did they learn today? Tell them all. Recap, Sam. I know you were writing it down during the show, so here's your chance. She wrote down nothing.
in my mind, in my heart, it's written. It's written like on tablets.
You can't, yeah. But we know about you. So tell us where we can see you. Are you going to be performing anywhere that we can see?
I am performing at CS3 in Fort Wayne on Friday.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So people will see this. This show will probably go up Wednesday, so we'll have a couple quick days. Mm-hmm. Couple days if you're listening this early. If you're in Fort Wayne, yep. Go see Sam.
Mm-hmm. On September 3rd. And then I'm doing the Chucky Finster show in Detroit.
I don't know what that is.
It's a new showcase.
Okay. Who's Chucky Finster?
Chucky Finster is like a character on Rugrats.
And oh, so the show is beyond me.
The show is named after him.
Pardon me for not getting the reference. This old fuck me. I'll be on the Jack Benny show and Sam will be at the Rugrats comedy. Okay, the Chucky Finster show. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And
where's that at?
It's at a recycling center in Detroit.
Wow, hard to believe. Okay, but comedy has some alternative venues, and that's mm-hmm. one of them. So that's nice. Yep.
And so that's on Saturday. And then next weekend, I will be featuring at Holly Hotel.
Okay, Holly Hotel, a legitimate place to see comedy, mm-hmm. I think. If you like your comedy with a train coming by every 20 minutes, go to the Holly Hotel and see Sam.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Holly Hotel is a good place to see. It's intimate.
Yes.
It's intimate. I hear if you get the dinner and the show, it's real expensive. That is mm-hmm. what I hear about that.
Yeah.
Because, I played the Hollywood Hotel a million times, but, yeah, it's a lot of rich people eating dinner. Here's the Ada. Have you done? You've done Holly Hotel, probably.
Yep. I've emceed it about five times. Yeah. This is my first time featuring.
If you go to the 8 o'clock Holly Hotel show or you're a performer there, it's a lot of rich people who just ate expensive dinners who come down and watch the show. The 10:30 Holly Hotel show is every drunk asshole from Flint. it's like a complete turnaround. It's the haves and the have-nots. They're completely different audiences that they have at their early show and their late show.
I remember one time a drunk woman stormed the stage and tried to take the mic from Sal D'Amelio.
Oh, from Sal D'Amelio.
The police had to come.
Oh, my God. Poor Sal. Frail Sal D'Amelio. How would he handle that? Sal should have somebody like that rubbed out, right? Isn't that what Sal would do? I got to get Sal. It's football season. I get Sal on the show. Mm-hmm. Sal does our football picks.
I'm part of a football league.
Are you really?
Yeah.
A fantasy football league?
Yes.
Do you know anything about football?
Nope.
Did you pick your team yet?
Yes.
Who's on your team? I'll tell you if they're good or not.
Lacey. I know
one. Lacey?
Yeah. According to NFL, though, because the NFL or the ESPN stats automatically.
Eddie Lacy.
Yes.
I think he's a running back for the Green Bay Packers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Eddie Lacy's pretty good.
Most of my team is running backs.
You have to have a quarterback. Who's your quarterback? Look it up. I will wait. I will make our audience wait. I want to know who's in the Sam fantasy football team. I used to play fantasy football with the fans on this show, but we haven't done it in a while.
Tell
me who your quarterback is. I hope it's good. I hope somebody didn't roll you and you have Robert Griffin III. You don't want Robert Griffin III. You know why you don't want Robert Griffin III? Because they're going to cut him from the Washington Redskins.
Matt Ryan.
Okay, Matt Ryan. He's from the Atlanta Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Not elite, but decent. Okay, running back. Give me the whole team. Eddie Lacy, running back.
Gurley.
What position?
Running back for St. Louis.
He might be a rookie or something. I'm not familiar mm-hmm. with him. All right.
Green for Cincinnati.
Oh, well, yeah. They're a wide receiver, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's green. He's good.
Evans, wide receiver for... TB.
Tampa Bay?
Tampa Bay.
Okay. That's Tampa Bay. That's TB. your wide receiver has tuberculosis, Sam. What happened? Yeah, he's from Tampa Bay.
He's scrappy.
He's from Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay has a rookie quarterback, and I wonder if, when you have a bad quarterback, but we don't know how their quarterback's going to be because he's a rookie, but if the quarterback's good, he'll be okay for you. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I have Evans.
Yeah.
So I have Cameron from Miami.
Tight end.
Yep.
Okay.
You were good.
I know football, but
Crowell.
Crowell?
Crowell.
What's his position?
A running back for Cleveland.
Oh. Yeah, you don't want any Cleveland Browns on your team.
No. So I should.
They're the worst.
For defense, I have the Vikings.
I don't know. That might be. But, you know, the defense is something you can change real easily. Do you know how to do all that when you play fantasy football?
Mm-mm.
You can drop guys. And, you know, defenses, you kind of switch out. My advice with defenses is you pick up two defenses, and then you look at who they're playing each week. And if the team they're playing sucks, you use that defense.
Oh.
That's the advice.
Thank you.
So the Vikings, if the Vikings are playing the Lions, you probably don't want the Vikings because I think the Lions are going to beat the shit out of the Vikings. And I think the Packers are going to beat the shit out of the Vikings. But the Bears might not. So if it's the Vikings and the Bears, you know, that's how you do it.
Sweet. So do you think I can drop a player and then pick up like a defense?
Yes, you could do that. You could do that. Who's your kicker?
My kicker is Jay Tucker.
Yeah. On what team is he on?
Baltimore.
Yeah, he's good. Baltimore, yeah, he'll be good. So, good. And some advice with the kicker. Baltimore plays outdoors, but if you can get a team that plays indoors and get their kicker, that's usually good. But, again, kicker is something they're easy to pick up throughout. It's the quarterback and the running backs that are hard to hold on to.
Yeah, you know, and half of these were automatic because I was emceeing a show while I was drafting my team.
That's what happens. Some guys miss the draft, and they end up with a shitty team. And when me and Corey would play our fantasy football league here, we would always make fun of the people because they'd be like, you fucking missed out, and you're the worst fucking team. But no, your team, you never know with fantasy football. I mean, that's the idea of it, because there's people like, I'm a fantasy football guru. But it's, a lot of it is just like the lottery. A lot of it is just randomness. You know, you can't really control the outcome of a football game. And from week to week, some guys are good and some guys suck and all that. So good luck with that.
Thank you. It's with a bunch of comics on the west side of the state.
Oh,
and
okay.
The loser has to do a set written by everybody else.
Oh, well, geez. Well, I don't know all those guys on the west side of the state, but some of them would do well if everyone else wrote their act. I'll say that. But
they're all sweethearts. They're
oh,
all
I know. Hearts. But come on. Not everyone's good.
Oh.
No, that's fine. No, I don't. I'm not naming. Look, I was how many comics did I put over today on this show? How many guys did I say were funny and were good?
A lot.
Yes. I said lots of nice things about lots of people. Today. And very few things. Not nice. A couple. Well, that's what happens. But anyway, I think that's going to do it, Sam. Anything else?
Mm-mm.
Good. Did you have fun today?
Yes.
We got out of the heat?
Yes.
It was very hot today, so. All right. Well, good luck with everything. We'll keep up with Sam. We're not gonna leave you hanging for too long, audience. We'll know what Sam's up to, what her fantasy football team's doing.
Thank you for having me.
If you need advice, call me. I'll tell you who to pick up. Because I'm not playing. I gave up. Well, do you watch football?
I like to have it on in the background because it's like the pumpkin spice of TV.
Yeah, right.
Like,
I get what you're saying. Yeah. Well, you know, it'll make you like it if your guy's playing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you see a Falcons game, you'll go, oh, okay, I've got Matt Ryan. Let's watch the Falcons. So it does help with that. But then if you want to watch Matt Ryan and you turn it on and Matt Ryan sucks, then you're going to want to put your shoe through the television. So that's what fantasy football does. It kind of ruins football. I think. So that's why I don't play. But you'll enjoy it. And thanks for being here, Sam.
Thank you for having me.
We loved having you. Thank you. And thanks to everybody who listened. We'll catch you next time on Joel Radio. See ya.